Welcome to another episode of the Jasmine Star Show. I'm your host, a photographer and business strategist from Newport Beach, California. And my claim to fame is that I eat almost as fast as I talk. It's a true talent. Come on, folks. If you and I sit plate to plate, you're going down. I'm thrilled for today's episode with my friend and guest contributor, Shawnee. She is a licensed professional clinical counselor in Minnesota. Try saying that five times fast. Now, the best thing about Shawnee is that her mission is to create a safe place for her clients to feel seen and heard. Because through her own life challenges, she understands that life can be hard, especially for people who are business owners, people who are of color, people who are underrepresented. Y'all, I first discovered her content through TikTok, and then Shawnee works so hard to destigmatize therapy. So if you love authenticity and a no BS approach to difficult topics, but then learning how to make those difficult topics part of your story, part of your business, and grow from them, you are going to love this conversation about owning your story. Let's dive in, shall we? Friends, I am very, very honored and privileged to have a therapist on our podcast, not just any therapist. And you're wondering like, wait, Jasmine, why are we gonna flip the script on us? This is a business and life podcast. And yes, business and life definitely needs some real talk and love from a professional that's gonna put our hearts and minds in check. I have to say that I started creeping on Shawnee via social media. So I believe that this person embodied the thing that I preach. Show up as who you are, create valuable content, set your parameters, share your story, and speak your truth. And the more that she did it, being unafraid of who she was, the more I was attracted to it. So I want to talk to her about the advice that she has for people like me, you, and the Mr. and Mrs. sitting next to you on the couch who knows that we are supposed to do something, and yet we can listen and battle the voices in our mind. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Jasmine Star Show. Shawnee, how are you, doll?
I am doing very good today. Thank you so much for introducing me. And whenever I hear people talk about me, I'm like, okay, bitch.
Like, I like that girl. I like her.
Yes, I like who I've become.
I love it. And that, you want to know what? That's going to be my intention for the end of this episode. I want people to listen and then say to themselves, I like who I've become. Yes. And I'm pretty sure that you have done the work to say those things. And so I am actively doing the work. So we're going to start there. And if you don't mind, I'm going to start off this conversation by reading a part of your website that I found pretty intriguing because I feel like it's going to be the foundation. This okay. is on the homepage of your website. Mm-hmm. Owning me was not a need. It was a choice. Accepting my worth wasn't a one-day epiphany. I used to conform to others' opinions. I often placed my happiness in the hands of others, seeking validation of my worth through relationships with friends, families, and lovers. The girl with daddy issues used to be my excuse for all of my actions. It was all too exhausting, mentally and physically. Defining my life based on other people's opinions ultimately left me lonely, tearful, and contemplating taking my own life. So I said to myself, people already don't allow me to be me, so it's time I do me and own it. Ooh, that's where the quote ends, and I'm out here. I got chills. As a framework for our conversation today, what does it mean for somebody to own their story? How does somebody sit down and be able to say, they're going to have an opinion anyway, so I'm going to do me?
That is a great question. And I think that a lot of people really just want to have great stories. And when I say great stories, I mean, it's like the good stuff, you know, you're here for the underdog, the things that got you here. But we forget that it's those moments that maybe we didn't play a role in, maybe we had no control over, but yet it's a part of our story. It's a chapter. Even if we didn't want it to be, it has made us part of who we are. And so when I say owning it, it's embodying literally every piece of your story. Even if you didn't have a choice, even if something happened to you, even if you did say like a mean thing to someone, owning all of it and knowing that just because that happened, that doesn't mean that that's who you have to be today. What that means is that you own that and decide, okay, do I want this to be a part of me? Do I want to change something about it? And you move forward from there. So it's embodying every part of your story, because everything plays a role into who you are or who you want to be.
Okay, so we're going to start here and we're going to spill the tea. Is there something that you look back on and you thought at the time it had to be part of your story? Like it became like a red letter and then you decided at a later point in time, I'm going to own it. It was who I was. It doesn't define who I'm going to be in the future. Can you share with us something? I mean, I don't know. This is like the patient asking the therapist. And I'm like, is this not part of the rules?
Oh, it's totally fine. I am one of those therapists that I am totally okay with self-disclosure. And the reason for that, I'm going to answer your question, but I wanted to touch on that because I know a lot of people have questions. Like I get asked this question a lot. And for me, it is okay to self-disclose. And the reason why is because there's something about the therapeutic relationship with anyone. So you have to be open to letting someone know parts of you. If clients ask me questions, I'm going to answer them because they want to know who I am. They want to know who they're talking to. And it's something that I'm building a relationship and it can't be one-sided. And I'm totally open with that. Now I understand that some therapists are not and that's their choice. However, I do encourage therapists to think about why is it that you don't want to share information? So for instance, I know when I was in school, it was, we don't share information about our families. And I'm like, why? Like I understand if you're in a setting where that might... I used to work in a jail, so I was a little bit less when it came to my self-disclosure, but I'm in a private practice. I get to choose my clients. I make sure that I don't put myself in positions where my family or I are at risk. So if someone says like, hey, how was your weekend? How are your kids? I'm like, kids are great. Like I'm totally fine disclosing that. So going back to your question, and you know what's funny is I feel like even though we're in video, there's an energy here because as I was talking, I was like, I had an idea about something and I was like, ooh, I don't want to say that. And then you were like, okay, what is the scarlet letter? And I was like, oh, here we are. Here we are. So I'm not going to lie. When I was in middle school, I was not the nicest girl. I would say mean things to people. I lost friends because I did say mean things to people. And the reason why I'm saying that and owning that is because I know that that came from a place of hurt. However, I need to also take responsibility for my actions. You know, everyone knows the quote, hurt people hurt people. And that is what happened there. And I owned that I could be a mean person. So if I fast forward that to like my college years, I have a story where it was my best friend. We were on the bachelor bus for her bachelorette party. And someone was like, let's go around and say nice things about her. And I'll never forget. I was like, well, what about the things we don't like about her? And it didn't sit with me. Granted, I had some drinks in me. But afterwards, I was like, Shani, why would you do that? Like, could you imagine it being your bachelorette party, you're getting married, and everyone who loves you is by you, and they want to say great things about you, and then someone who's in your bridal party, I was in the bridal party, was like, oh, let's talk about things that we don't like about this.
I'm sorry. I just think this is hilarious because I feel like I'm self-identifying a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm laughing because it's a guilt laugh. Like I asked myself, I'm like, there was a version of me that was that Shani. So girl, okay. So then how did you move? Like what shifted?
Yes. So I recognize that what I say hurts people. Mm-hmm. And even if I'm drunk, so this is a part of owning my story. I cannot say that I am drunk and that is my excuse because that is a behavior that I need to take ownership of. And that is someone that meant a lot to me. That was my best friend. Why would I do that to someone? And so when I'm talking about like owning your story, it's those moments that we don't want to recognize in ourselves where it's like, I did hurt somebody. And so now I am more intentional with my words or with my thoughts. And how I did the work is I'm someone that I'm constantly thinking about, okay, do you want to say this here? And I'm paying attention to the energy in the room. So I'm paying attention to how is this person making me feel? Am I getting on the defense? Am I on the offense? Am I feeling like I need to say something? Do I feel like I need to be seen? Do I feel like I need to be heard? And so that's part of the work, in that I know that that came from a place where this person is getting all this love and attention. She's getting married. I was single. I was dying for someone to love me. So that came from a place of, hey, see me. Let's take the attention off of seeing her. And I own that.
Okay. So I often talk about this podcast, and I know that it's always an intersection of business, life, and everything on the in-between. And Riz right here is like that raw, sticky middle of like owning that. Because what I believe Shani is identifying is stuff that we need to as business owners. Because if we don't understand where pain or where discomfort or where embarrassment is stemming from, it's going to manifest itself in business. And so I have to just come out and just like speak my truth and say that when you are aching for somebody to love you, it will come across as like taking attention off something. Now, if you are aching for something in your business and somebody else possesses it, it's going to bring out an ugly side of you. So until you actually embrace being content with where you are and celebrating somebody else's success, you're not going to be able to achieve the same thing. But this goes back to doing the work. So what happens though, when the story is difficult to admit? Like, what if somebody just like, this is something I just don't talk about. This is Pandora's box. Like, what do you say then?
So I say that's about creating the safe place for that vulnerability. So it's going to be with someone who you know is not going to judge you. It's someone who you know is going to be like, I'm glad you own that, girl. Like, good for you. And it's also going to hold you accountable to owning that. Like, it's not just owning it. No. We have to take actions too. It's not saying, okay, this event happened and I own that. It's saying, okay, this event happened. What am I now going to do differently? How am I going to move differently to make sure that this doesn't happen again? And if it does happen again, how am I going to hold myself accountable? And as you were talking, something that I thought about when you were like, okay, there's this intersection of business. So how this can look in business, and I am guilty for this when I started out my career. Hey, can I get a collab with you? Hey, excuse me. I want to know, we should totally work together. Like, just throwing it out there rather than going about it in like a professional manner. Like, do you even follow this person? Is it someone that like you support, comment, interact with? Or is this someone where you see what they have created in their business space and you want a chunk of that and you're like, oh, see me. Going back to my story. Hey, see me. And that's how that can show up in business. So as I'm working on it, that's how it started to manifest itself when I started getting into like YouTube and Instagram, where it was like, hey, see me. So owning it and doing the work was like, girl, you gotta chill. Like, you can't just be up here like, hey, I wanna work with you. Why?
Okay, so let's tap here for a second. So oftentimes what I see is that people will say, hey, see me, AKA, let's do a collab. Now, I'm not saying how it works with me. What I'm saying is, as a viewer of this industry and as deeply entrenched with small, medium-sized business owners, when they say, hey, let's collab. And then after a series of no's, they will then say, well, see, how can I grow my business if nobody will throw me a bone? Well, this is why I'm not growing. So for people who are in the case, and it might not be necessarily a collaboration, it could be, oh, they don't want to carry my product, or I can't speak on that stage. How do we deal with first identifying being a victim? And then two, once we have awareness of it, what can we do to change and be empowered with our story?
Yes. Yeah, so the first thing that I definitely say, I'm such a huge believer of build it and they will come.
Amen.
I'm such a huge believer in that. And like, literally that comes from my own story. So I remember being on YouTube and being like, see me, hey, collab with me. Like, no one's seeing me. I mean, I was on YouTube for like 5 years. Until this point, I still have yet to break 5,000 subscribers. I'm on TikTok. I have way surpassed 100K. I built it and I focused on me. And then people saw me. I no longer needed to ask people to see me. They saw me. So as you bring these all together, and I know it's hard. I've been there. It's so hard when you're trying to build a business. I've built my website 3 times. My private practice, I'm on my like 3rd time. I remember building my website and literally sitting there, getting up 6 a.m., waiting for my phone to ring. Hey, am I going to get a client today? Oh my gosh, I'm going to get a client today. Nope, absolutely not. Like, did not get one client in my first private practice at all. And it's one of those things where I started to focus on, how is my business a part of me? What do I want to bring? How can I put myself out there and have people see me. So that, yes, I'm still asking in a way, but it's a different way of asking. I'm a huge fan of, it's all about the delivery, baby.
Okay, like, I get it. But what I hear, what I know is going on deeply in so many minds and souls is, what if I'm not okay with me? Like, why can't I lead with my photography or my therapy practice or my dog walking or my jewelry business? Like, why? Like, what if I'm just not okay with me? Then what?
Yeah. If you're not okay with you, how are other people going to be okay with you? So the question is, then what? Well, why aren't you okay with you? Because you don't have to be the way that you are right now. You have the power to change anything that you want about yourself. So here's an example. My first business, there is this idea that I had about how a therapist has to be. Very stoic, very just like, yes, tell me more about that. How does that make you feel? The clothes that I wore. I'm someone who loves to curse. I remember in my YouTube videos, I literally would like edit out the curse words. When I'm with my clients, I would not curse. When all these arenas, I just wasn't being me. And so I said, you know, this is exhausting not being me. And the person that I am in my business with my friends, I don't like this person. So what if I try being me? Let's test the waters. The first way that I tested the waters is starting to embody my Blackness and what that means for me, regardless of where I have come from. I'm a military child. I grew up in the suburbs. I'm in a blended family, only child to my dad, 5 siblings on my mom's side. What does Black mean for me? And I lost some friends. I had a friend tell me, Shawna, you're too Black. Because the old me, they felt was comfortable. But as I transitioned into me, they didn't like that. And it hurt. But at the end of the day, I could go to sleep. At the end of the day, I felt good about who I was. So I did that work. And it slowly just evolved to, I was cursing in sessions with clients. I wear what I want to wear. I do my makeup the way that I want to do. I mean, there's definitely, I don't sit in a chair with my legs crossed. I mean, I'm probably sitting Indian style or my legs are hanging off the side of it. Sometimes I'm eating my dinner and clients really love that. Like they feel like they are in the room with a human being versus someone who says that they are an expert.
So on the flip side of this, there are people who hear this and say, I would never want to watch my therapist eat dinner. I would never want my therapist's legs to be hanging out over her chair. And to that, I'm going to come out and say, I firmly believe that Shawna would be like, good. You're not my client. Good. Yes. And that is such a place of power. And I think that this is like, this is the, we're on the precipice of truly what this podcast is aiming to do. People come like, I like her podcast about business. I like it because of social media. It's like, no, it's not. This podcast is about life. Like, how are you going to show up? What are you going to do with your one wild, amazing, precious, beautiful life? Are you going to sit there stodgy and ask how you feel? Are you going to sit Indian style having spaghetti on your fork and say, I have been there and yes, my kids are doing okay. Yeah. All right. So when we talk about this and we talk about the things that are stopping us, how do you, because I know you must have seen this like pattern by pattern, and then you could synthesize it specifically in the context of business owners. When you see fear rear its head, what are pieces of advice when it comes to business? Now, is this something that stems deeply from childhood, or is this like a common pattern that you're like, this is the two-headed monster that will appear around this time, and these are the things that I recommend?
Okay, so oh my gosh, this energy here is amazing. Let me.
I like you. I actually feel like I'm getting free therapy. I'm going to cut you a check. What's your Venmo? I'm like, my husband's going to be like, who are you? I'm radiating, baby. I'm radiating.
Yes. I'm like, I feel like the questions that you're asking, I'm like thinking them, like you have synchronized with my mind. It's crazy. Mm. Okay. So as you're saying, fear rears its head. I'm going to talk real time right now. So my business is growing. I'm going to be hiring people. And initially, I was like, yes, this means I'm growing. But then when I got into the process, we all know it's great. When we think it, we love to think it. Thinking is beautiful. Thinking you can dream, you can imagine. But when you have to take action, take a step, that's scary. It's uncomfortable because what if I fail? And what happens when fear rears its head, I literally look at it and say, why? Why are you here? Mm-hmm. What are you, what is your presence meant to do for me? What is this feeling meant to do for me? So in growing my business, fear right now looks like, oh my gosh, what if I start hiring employees and I've chose the wrong like filing status and I owe back taxes and the IRS audits me and then my business is out of, that's it, it's done. Like, nope, like that could happen. That's also anxiety. And that's also overthinking things. It's rational in a way because it could happen, but it's also being able to say, okay, thank you for this thought, but I don't want to follow this thought. I don't want this thought. We can't control our thoughts as they come in, but we can choose whether or not we want to follow them. So that's the first thing that I do and recommend is stopping your thoughts and saying like, is this going to benefit me? Mm-hmm. For me, absolutely not. So that thought, stay there. I'm going to put it over there. The next thing to do is recognize like how you feel in your body. I'm a huge person that is all about like body and how you feel and body scanning. So when fear rears its head for me, it's in my chest and it's in my jaw. And I've gotten really good at being aware of when my body starts to shift that I'm able to relax my body. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like when we first started talking, I was like, okay, with every speaking engagement, I feel it. I'm like, okay, we're getting ready to start. Okay, here we go. And my jaw like clenches up and it does like this little quiver thing. And I literally am telling myself in my mind, relax your jaw, relax your jaw, slow down your heart rate, slow down your heart rate and relax. Because the way that we feel can be very psychosomatic. What that means is you have a thought and your body physically reacts to that.
I thought you were gonna keep on going. I literally, you're talking. Did you see me make that face? Because yeah. What I did, no, it wasn't a cue to stop talking, girl. I was like, oh my God, the way I'm sitting. No. I told myself, so where I carry my stress is my stomach. And so I had conversations with therapists and doctors. I have a long standing stomach issue. And oftentimes I find myself, oh wait, let me put my feet on the ground. Let me put my hand over my stomach and let me just send conscious energy saying, we are okay. We are in control. And one thing that you had said is to digest what fear is giving you and then ask yourself, is this serving me? Elizabeth Gilbert, famous author, she writes that in the creative process, I believe entrepreneurship is as creative as you want to make it. I believe truly with all my being, it is a creative process. And she talks about the importance of looking at fear and having a conversation and expressing gratitude for fear. Fear is like a God-given gift to us. Before, it was to run away from a lion or to not step in fire. But as entrepreneurs, the idea is, what would it look like? And this is what she says, to write a letter to fear. Mm-hmm. Dear fear, thank you for this. I see what you're trying to do. I see you're trying to protect me from getting audited by the IRS. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I'm going to pay special attention to that. But now we're done. And I see you embodying that and doing that. And I think that you reminding yourself to unclench your jaw is reminding myself to relax my stomach and to take deep breaths and to understand. Because I'm going to tell you like what I felt. Okay. Mm. Imposter syndrome comes up. I ask myself, Jasmine, are you stupid for doing a podcast with a therapist? Like, what are people going to think? What, like, come on, like, come on. And I was like, whoa. So first see the fear and then digest it and saying there's a bigger purpose that somebody who's listening to this is going to walk away with something extraordinarily valuable. So every time you feel fear and you decide you're going to do something or every time you see it, what are clear action steps? So I heard you clearly identify, look at the fear, acknowledge, ask if it's serving you. Then I heard you say to release things within your body to be like, oh, I'm carrying it here. I'm conscious of this. Now, like, what if somebody like I'm from the hood. It's just like, okay, my body. Okay. Give me something real. Like, tell me, is there anything for the doubters? Cause you know, we're out here sounding like we all on Venice Beach, soaking crystals. Yes, what about the person who's just like, no, give me something.
I love that so much. I do. Okay. So yes, for the non-believers out there, you go ahead and like, let me talk to you real quick. Okay. So here's the thing about fear too, that I also wanted to backtrack and answer when you said, could it be something from your childhood? The IRS being audited, that deals with money. Mm-hmm. I have issues with money in my childhood. Mm. Like, I'm not going to lie about that. So it's not, even though the fear is saying IRS could audit you, What is really happening is that you could not have enough money.
Ooh, I got the chills. I got the chills right now.
Yes, because it stems from me having this fear of like a poverty mindset. Like I'll never have enough. I'll never have enough. So I'm talking to the people that could be from the hood. Yes, because you can have a poverty mindset. And that, how did your parents handle money?
Yep.
You know, and then after that, you went off to college. I'm not going to lie. I have tons of student loans. And I've often been like, oh my gosh, if only I can make enough money to like pay off my student loans. Like I would love to pay off my student loans. So the IRS auditing me would mean that I won't be able to pay off my student loans. Like it's deeper than just the IRS auditing me. They can audit me, but that's not what I'm worried about. What I'm worried about is what's going to happen to my money from that. So speaking to those people that are like, okay, well, Shauna, give me some action steps. Can you like stop talking and giving me background? I need to know what to do. You only get 30 minutes with like with Jasmine, and I want to make sure I get some therapy tips for free because I can't afford therapy. So I hear y'all. So you have to journal. I know people are probably tired of hearing that, but journaling is so important. One, it gives your thoughts a place to go. If your thoughts stay here, Where are they going to go? It's like a jar. They're just swimming around. They might go away, but eventually they're going to find their way back to the forefront. You're conscious and thinking about it. So when you journal it, it's like an energy release of like putting this thing here. I fear the IRS auditing me, putting it there and allowing it to be there and accepting that that is what it is. And journaling, it doesn't have to be this Dear Diary stuff. Like you could totally do a voice memo. Hey, I'm walking into a job interview. I really need to get this paycheck. And I'm afraid that I won't get this job interview. But I want to just acknowledge this fear. And I just want to say, you know what? I need to get this paycheck. So putting the fear somewhere, acknowledging it. That's going to be the first thing. And the next thing, I'm a therapist. It's cool to go to therapy. Like therapy doesn't have to be this thing where it's like, I'm suffering from depression, anxiety. Like you can go to therapy and just be like, hey, therapist, like, yo, I didn't get that check. I didn't get that check today. And I just want to like talk about that. Therapy can be anything. I also love to hear about the good things. Yo, I got the job. Like I actually can afford to provide for my family today. So having some sort of support system is important, especially right now with this pandemic going on. We're alone physically, mentally. Some of us out there are single. We don't have any outlet. A therapist would be a great place. And then, you know, your friends that probably are tired of getting that text message be like, hey, you know what? Your therapist don't get tired. They shouldn't get tired. Let me rephrase that.
So I have to say, just I want to co-sign on this. I'm very proud of my roots and very proud of who I was and how I've come. I don't know if it's something from like an immigrant. I don't know if it's within the Latino culture. I don't know if it's just maybe perhaps my family. Therapy was like this thing that we just didn't do. And we just didn't talk about. Like therapy was like rich folk. That's what rich folk do. Like imagine to have the luxury of paying somebody to listen to you talk. Right. So it was like a whole reprogramming of like what it really meant. And as far as journaling goes, for anybody who is just saying, must be nice. I don't have time to sit with my matcha in a leather-bound book with a quill and write. Like, I'm going to tell you, every morning, I didn't even know when you had said to journal, that's what I do. And I do it in 5 minutes. I write down things that I am feeling, what I want. It's different each day, what I want to do in the future, what my fears are, what my worries are, what my prayers are. And then I look at them. And there's a process that Dr. Amen walks you through. It's like, you could list your fears. And then you have to ask yourself, is this 100% true? Is it 100% true that the IRS is going to audit Shauna? No. Then you have to ask yourself, could it be true? Well, maybe. And then you have to ask yourself, what is the likelihood? And then all of a sudden you find yourself talking yourself out from the ledge. Yeah. And then the second thing that to therapy, if for somebody who's a very proud therapy goer now, and I'm telling my daddy, daddy, you got to talk to somebody. You just got to talk to somebody. One day I'm going to convince them to go. But when you had said somebody can talk to you about not getting the check, and then you want to celebrate if somebody were to say, I got the job. What a therapist's job is, from my opinion, is to walk you through what both of those dang things mean.
Yes.
And oftentimes it's coupled with worth. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't get the check, I'm not worthy. I got the check, I'm finally worthy. But in both of those situations, you were always worthy. How do you talk to somebody right now who's like, I didn't get the contract, I didn't get the client, don't have the money to launch my website? Like, how do you talk about worth around business and how we show up and the way we see the world?
Yes. So one of the first things that I always do whenever I start to see a client is I ask them, like, what are your goals? I want us to be on the same page so that I know where they want to go with therapy. And I do this quite a bit too, where I will say, let's look backwards, because we're always looking forward. We're always looking for our next adventure. We're always looking towards our next endeavor, whether that's like, okay, I got the job. Now I want to move up in the company. And then we sometimes can feel like wanting to move forward is such a huge task. Mm-hmm. And so what I will do with my clients, and I'll be like, hey, hold on, let's look back. Let's look back. Where did you come from?
That's right.
Where did you start? Because if we look back, we can see the progress, so that in looking forward, it doesn't seem like it's unattainable, or it doesn't seem as if it's such this long task. Because between where you came from and where you're going is a huge, it's vast. But when you only look forward, that seems as even more vast. But if you put it all together and you realize, you look both ways, you're like, oh, I'm making progress. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. Then let's break down the steps that it is that we want to take to get to this business launch. Because if we're just saying business launch, that's a huge task. But what about the little things in between? Marketing, budgeting. Being able to accomplish those, you feel like you're making progress. You know, oh, I budgeted. Oh, I have a marketing plan. Oh, I marketed. My book sold one. My book sold two. So now you're starting to feel like you're climbing steps. Now you feel like, oh, I am moving forward. Now, okay, let's look back again. Remember when like a month ago you were saying like, oh my gosh, I can't, this launch is just like, it feels overwhelming. It feels, hold on, let's look back. You did the marketing plan. You sold a couple books. What is that? Oh, so it's really bringing people to realize their progress and the overall picture and not just where you're going.
I love that so stinking much. Oftentimes, whenever I feel like a little bit down, and I feel like it's a very common emotion for business owners to not be where we want to be.
Yes.
And I know that there are people listening who'd be like, Jasmine, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? How dare you say that? Which is true, but it is the never-ending aspirational model, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that you had said is to look back. Yes. Look back and see how, and I just want to remind anybody who's listening right now, I always use the decade. Will the 2011 version of Jasmine be really impressed with the 2021 version of Jasmine? Mm-hmm. And I would be like, baby girl, I couldn't even dream that big. The 2011 Jasmine couldn't even dream this big. And if that's what I did in a decade, then by God, watch me do what I'm going to do in the next decade and watch what you're going to do in the next decade. And I'm just saying, dang girl, you spoke a word over my life. How do we, let's loop this back, because you talk about owning your story. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the start of this conversation, because I can see us like tying this up. Is that like for people who don't know how to own their story or people who don't know how to share it, what is like a couple tips from a therapist point of view? Mm-hmm. How does somebody just come out and say, I'm okay with sharing this much to test and then this much? What are some actionable steps that somebody can say, I'm going to start owning it? And what does that actually look like in practicality?
Yes. So the first thing that I want to say is, and I wanted to throw this in there before I answer your question, because I was thinking.
I love it. Yes, time. Please. Okay, yes. Oh, yes.
So the reason I wanted to add on to like looking back. So for instance, right now in my business, I'm in the process of like trying to get my LLC in Arizona, but my LLC is technically in Minnesota. And I remember like looking at the website and doing this. I'm like, foreign LLC, transfer LLC. Oh my gosh. And then I remember I told myself, I was like, Shawnee, you've done an LLC before and that was new. This is new right now. You are overwhelmed by the idea of getting to point A. Because I keep telling myself, I just want to be done. Like, I just want to be there. And I can look back and be like, see where you come. But when you're in those moments, being able to say, you've gotten through things before. You're resilient. This task, it seems so overwhelming. And if you need to right now, it's okay to take a break. It's okay to click out of the internet browser, walk away and come back. Because when it feels like it's so overwhelming, we have to listen to our bodies that maybe right now in this moment, it is overwhelming. Because I created an LLC before. I can do it again. So I wanted to definitely throw that out there. But then to answer your question of like actionable steps of like owning yourself and like—
Hold on, Shani. I feel like I need just to pause here.
Okay.
And I'm going to repeat back what I heard because somebody heard it and they need to hear it again. People in the back.
Yes.
It is okay to give yourself grace if you feel you don't even deserve it. That's what this just boiled down to, is walk away from the browser, close it, start again tomorrow because you want the results now and it is okay. The bigger person gives yourself grace. The 10-year version in the future wishes that the version of you today gave yourself a 10-minute version of grace to go back and figure out what the heck you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So let's pause and just appreciate to give yourself the permission to listen to therapist Shani, who's dropping dime for free, and say, I'm going to come back to this when I'm in a better headspace.
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
Yes.
Move on to the next thing.
Yes. So to tie in like owning your story and all of those things together, I feel like I need to take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. Like if you are listening to this, this is a lot of information and it can be overwhelming. And I feel the need to talk to you right now and just say like, inhale the information and exhale the stress, the overwhelming. It could be sensory overload, your business owner, there's not a reason why you're listening to this podcast. So I just want you to give yourself a moment to relax yourself. Okay. Going back and answering your question, your story, I'm getting emotional because it's important to really know whether or not the space that you are sharing your story in is safe. That's the first thing. Because we want to share our stories and sometimes we're afraid to share our stories. And if you find yourself in a space sharing your story that is not, you don't feel welcome there, you're, see me. Mm. That could be damaging to you. You've only told a little bit and now in this space, you're divulging all this information and it's not safe. So that's the first thing that I want people to really pay attention to is trust yourself and trust your gut. Even though you want to talk and you're trying to be seen and you want to grow your business, asking yourself, is it safe for me here? That's the first part. The next part that I want people to know is that if you're the underdog, guess what? You have one of the biggest advantages to someone who is not an underdog. You have adversity. When you fail, there are lessons in failure. You become better from failure. You learn what you want to do or what you don't want to do. That job that might be toxic, that supervisor that might be toxic, that coworker that might be toxic, that you're like, I want to do my side hustle. I want to do my job. That is teaching you what not to do. That is teaching you how you don't want to be. And as you are starting to formulate, write your story, know that you can choose to end a chapter. Yes, choosing to end a chapter has choices and consequences and pros, but recognizing that you always have a choice. That job that you don't like, I get it. It pays the bills, but asking yourself, what is it doing to me mentally and physically? Because stress is a silent killer. And I really, if you take anything away from this podcast, I really want people to recognize that stress affects the body in ways that sometimes we don't even know until we have a disease, until we can't function. You've been going to work. It's toxic. One day you're sick. You got the flu. You're in bed. You can barely get up to do your side hustle. It is important to pay attention to that. And then the last thing that I will say, and you matter more than you know. And when you find the space where people love you for who you are, for who you're going to be, from where you came from, shine there. really take advantage of that moment and let that motivate you. Let those small moments motivate you. But if I want people to know that you matter. If you find that you're in a space where you don't matter, that's not your space. It's time to move on. It's time to find another table.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's my girl, Shawnee. That's my girl. I don't know who needed to hear this, but if this is piping into your ears, it has been predestined. Yeah. And this is God or the universe calling you out to say, hey, what was just dropped was, as the underdog, you are facing adversity, and that is a gift. Yes. And that you matter, and that there is people who will love and appreciate and support what it is that you do as long as you are in your safe space.
Yes.
Shawnee, how can people, oh, I hold up. I forgot I was going to share this story. Here I am. I got I got my podcaster voice on, but I have to tell you, y'all, you need to check out Shawnee on social because her stories are funny. Her reels are funny. Her TikToks are funny. But there was this one. Now, you remember at the end of the year, Spotify will do a top five, like your most popular music list. Okay. And so I'm just creeping on my girl watching her stories and she's walking through and she tells like why it's important not to share your music list with your kids. Who was your number one, girl? Tell me who was your number one. Cause she had some other like, really, she had some pretty fly, music taste. JoJo Siwa, you guys, come on. It's like if you meet Shawnee, she's like, she's fly, she's got flavor, she's cool, she does dances, and then all of a sudden she's sharing her Spotify list and number one is JoJo Siwa. If you don't know who JoJo is, y'all, go and look up Nickelodeon, and then you're gonna be how in the heck? How in the heck?
Funny you're showing this because I didn't know Spotify had released that, and I'm watching people's stories, and I'm like, that's dope. Like they got podcasts, they got like artists. I'm like, let me look up that artist. So I went to my Spotify and it was like your 2020 recap. And I was like, okay. And I'm like going through and I'm like, Gummy Bear was my top. As much as I listen to like Drake, Money in the Grave, Gummy Bear was my number one song. And I was like, okay, let's see the artist. And then when JoJo Siwa popped up, I was like, okay, we're getting...
You have no swag. You have no swag. You lost a girl. You got a mom card. You know, your days... Your days...
My 2021 recap is not...
I absolutely love this. How can people see you, your content, go deeper with you, get to know you? How can we find you on the interwebs?
Yes. So TikTok is where I make mental health videos. But I would say, like, if you really want to interact with me, definitely Instagram. And everything is the Shawnee Project. And the reason why I say Instagram is because, like, if you comment on TikTok, there's just so many comments that they flood that I don't get a chance to, like, see them personally. But you can find me on Instagram. I share my life to inspire and motivate you. I do stories. Everyone loves my Monday stories because it's literally like a theme. And then I play TikToks. And my themes on Mondays are we're going to dance and we're going to laugh.
Yes. And you do those so successfully. Y'all, the Shawnee Project, I appreciate you, doll. Thank you for giving so generously. Thank you for extending grace. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for giving more than you ever took from us. I can't wait for... Just listeners, can you love bomb the Shawnee Project? Can you just love bomb this queen for giving us the gift of self-confidence, belief, and self-worth? I appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time to do this.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Friend, I hope this incredible conversation with Shawnee inspired you to discover your story and not be afraid to own it, learn from it, share it, and use it to inspire others. Speaking of using your story, after this conversation, all I can think of is gratitude. I'm gratitude for what I went through. I have so much gratitude for the bouts of depression that I struggled with. I'm thankful for what I learned at my lowest points. So if you want to join me in giving thanks for the pain and giving thanks for the discomfort and thanks for the doors that closed, and thanks for clients who said no. If we're expressing gratitude for that contract, you know, the one that was denied, can we look back at the past and say, I'm so thankful for that bounce check? Can we give thanks for those who turned against us? Can we give thanks to the doubters? Can we give thanks for the fear? We're thankful because we thought what would be a setback turned out to be a setup. everything we thought would crush us ended up putting us right where we needed to be. You and me. Well, friend, we're giving thanks because what didn't crush us made us stronger. And if that is not something to give thanks for, I don't know what is. Man alive. Okay. This is just something that just comes from my heart. I talk to amazing people, and this is everything I want to say after those conversations. So thank you for listening, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to communicate with you. Speaking of communications, yo, for like short kick in the pants messages, just like the ones that you often hear on this podcast, I'd love for you to text me. Yeah, we got a little text community going on every week. I send marketing tips and motivational text messages to start your day. There's like no pitch. We have a lot of fun. I get to know you via text. You can get them for free by heading to jasminestar.com/text me and send me a text. Yes, y'all, it's my real number. That was me on the other end of that text messaging. A lot of my friends think I'm crazy for it, but I am just looking for ways to go deeper with listeners and people in the community. jasminestar.com/text me. I'll chat with you soon.